This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
It's time to preview this season's final golf major, the US PGA Championship. Fantastic tournament, and it's one that can provide a shock or two. Don't forget, William Hill offering six places at a quarter of the odds if you're an each-way punter. We've got Jamie Spence on the line to preview this for us. Jamie, Oak Hill's an interesting course, isn't it? We've had some big shocks in the past as well, so there might be some big bets to be had.
Yeah, that's right. It's one of the famous golf courses in America, Oak Hill, Rochester, New York. Obviously famous for its Ryder Cup there in 1995 when Europe came back and grabbed victory from the jaws of defeat there. Phil Walton holding the winning putt. So, yeah, it's got a lot of history, Oak Hill. Jack Nicklaus won a PGA Championship back here in 1980. Sean McKeel was the last winner here in 2003. Well, will it be Tiger Woods this year? We'll find out. Four-time PGA champion, of course.
We're going to look through some of the chief protagonists in a minute, and I'll give you the odds. As far as Oak Hill goes, I mean, it strikes me as being a tough course. I mean, I think looking back through the records, only 10 players have broken par in the five majors held there. Accurate driving's key. Tough to chase as well. It looks like. Is that a fair summary of the course?
Yeah, it's a typical old-fashioned American type golf course. A bit like Medina. You know, you've got to hit it well off the tee. They've grown the rough up. It's nice and lush. If you don't drive the ball well or hit the ball well, particularly, you know, you're going to be missing the cut and driving home Friday night. So lots of trees on the golf course. The bunkers are very well placed as well. So Woods, in particular, won't be able to hit that iron off the tee. He's got to get his driver out, as have the rest of the field. So it's a proper man's golf course.
Tiger Woods is the favourite, as Jamie alluded to. 4-1, the price. Adam Scott, 16-1. Phil Mickelson, 16-1. And you've got Henrik Stenson at 22s. Hunter Mahan at 25s. Brant Snedeker, just a few places back there at 28. Same price for Justin Rose. 33-1 for these five golfers. Keegan Bradley, Lee Westwood, Matt Kuchar, Rory McIlroy and Zach Johnson. Then 40-1 for Dustin Johnson, Jason Duffner and Luke Donald. Let's go through them then, starting with the man who mesmerised us all once again with his 8th WGC Bridgestone Invitational title last week. Jamie, at times it was scintillating stuff. He's done that before though, hasn't he? There's something about the majors that maybe the power that he had before, that mental power that he had before himself and over other players, has it gone?
It's fascinating, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
In the majors, he seems to be a slightly more cautious player when he gets to the major championships. I mean, the Open on the Sunday afternoon there, the last four or five holes, he's still hitting a 5-iron, 4-iron off the tee. Get your driver out, Tiger. We saw Ian Poulter, didn't we, on that 15th hole at Muirfield, get his driver out and smash it in the bunker just short of the green. Well, if he can do that, Woods can drive the green, can't he? He chose not to. He chose to stick to his game plan. He needs a different game plan. I think he needs to throw away that caution and play the golf course like he does in all these other weeks. When he gets to the majors, you know what? You see, it looks a little bit restrictive, like he's trying to play too safe, middle of the greens, and let the others make the mistakes. Well, the others aren't making mistakes, are they? Mickelson's playing fantastic golf. Adam Scott played terrific golf at the Masters. He needs to come out of his shell, Tiger, and show us what we've got. Now, I remember I've tipped Tiger a few times this year, and I've been disappointed. However, I remember tipping him at 13-8 to win a PGA Championship back in 07 at Southern Hills. He's not that price, is he, this week? Mm. He's a much bigger price. So that was the dominance he had back then in 07. So, we're seeing a different Tiger. It's an intriguing, can he take that form into maybe major championship? He hasn't so far. And he's not won from behind. That's a stat that just is incredible. He's never won a major from behind.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that, you'd think that's the sort of thing that has to go at some point. This may not be the course to do it on either, though.
Is there something to it? I mean, most stats I look at, you know, and I sort of think you have to find a real good stat to really make you look up, and this is one of them. I mean, does he like to dominate? He does seem to be a great front runner in golf, which is not an easy thing to do. But Wood seems to love being out front. He seems to love dominating his opposition when he gets behind. I don't know. It just doesn't seem to happen for him. Maybe it's a stat that's a bit more telling than we think.
Adam Scott next in the betting, 16-1. The majors seem to be his main focus these days. Obviously, the Masters champion. He's been the favourite going into the final day of the last two Opens. Barely misses like the top 15 in majors these days. A lot of people want to be on Adam Scott's side every time a major comes round, Jamie.
Don't blame him. He's in the form of his life. He's the right age as well. prime of his golfing career, as you say. The majors are his targets. Third in the Open Championship, had a great chance, I thought, going into the last round there. In fact, it was one of my tips, going to the last round. Scott, he played well, but Mickelson just played much better than anybody else. Great performance in the Masters as well, especially coming off that horrific dropout at Lytham the previous year, and a 45th place in the US Open. So yeah, he's a top player, Adam Scott, number five in the world, and you know, he's got to have a chance.
Phil Mickelson next at 16-1 as well. Obviously, any idea that he was on the downslide has been put to bed after the win at the Open Championship, which was great to see. His last five performances in the PGA haven't been that great. One top 10 in the last five, and back at Oak Hill in 2003, he finished in the 20s. Didn't like the kind of, I guess, the narrow course that much then. Back to back winners of majors are pretty rare. Can you see any chance for Phil Mick?
Well, I didn't at the Open. I have to be honest. I've tipped him up many times in this column. Mickelson is a favourite player. I couldn't see him winning around Muirfield. I couldn't see him getting the ball in the fairway enough, but he did. And his last round, as he said, was the best round of his life. So he can surprise Phil Mickelson. He's a top player. He won this championship back in 05. But will he be able to play that strong three-wood all the way around, which he's been doing lately? I think he's got to get a drive in his bag this week. And you're spot on. That is not his best suit. The rough's up. He's got to hit the fairways. That is not his forte. Let's not forget, though, we go on about Tiger Woods winning 79 PGA Tour victories. Well, Phil Mickelson's won 42. So he's done pretty well as well in his career. So he's a top player, but a back-to-back round of course like this, can't see it.
Next up in the betting at 22-1 is Henrik Stenson, the Swedish player, showing a lot of form, isn't he? His performances in the PGA, there's a sixth place and a fourth place there in the last 5 years. Third in the Scottish Open, second in both the WGC Bridgestone event and the Open, of course. He's always there or thereabouts these days. Can he take that extra step and go and win it?
Well, he could do. He didn't go away at the Open, did he?
No.
He was in a real slump in his game a couple of years ago. He turned it around. A big key for him is he won the South African Open at the end of last year. Since then, he's not looked back. He's been incredibly consistent in the majors as well. I mean, he's 18th at the Masters, is respectable, and 21st at the US Open to go with that second place at Muirfield. So he's banging in there, Stenson. It's a short price. I mean, you never think... you know, he would be one of the leading European contenders going to PGA Championship at the start of the year, would you? But there he is, and he's there by right, second last week, although I'm not sure anyone was second last week. So, yes, Stenson's going to have a great chance on a course that should suit him, because he's got a three-wood that he can hit about 295 yards. So that's a big asset for him.
Hunter Mahan is 25-1. I love a mug bet in football, Jamie, when, you know, someone's birthday or whatever else, you back him to score. Nappy factor, you know what I'm talking about here. Hunter Mahan, I'm not sure it's something you can base your betting theory on. It's more for fun, I suppose. But, I mean, on the serious side, he's contended in the last two majors, hasn't he? He seems to be getting better in majors, Hunter Mahan.
I think anything that dramatic that happens in your life... can have an effect on your game. It can relax you and realise that, you know, golf is only a game, and it can just relax you on the golf course and make you play. But you're right, he made the last couple of majors, his fourth US Open, ninth in the Open, Mr. Consistent, isn't he? But is he a major champion? Hunter Mahan, I wouldn't be betting him on the fact that he's just had a kid. I've looked at, I thought he'd have a great chance in the Open Championship as well, going to the last round. Fell away there. He was in the last group of the US Open as well there, and he fell away a little bit as well. So I think he's consistent. I think he'll be there, but I don't think he'll win.
Yeah, I'm always dubious about it. I've had two children, and I was just knackered after having them. So I don't know how golfers or other sportsmen, how it propels them to better. You know, maybe just it takes the mind off it. I don't know. I don't understand the theory behind it. I was terrible at my job after I had kids.
Well, that's because fit, trained athletes, Lee, unlike you and me. That's the difference.
I'm with you. That's fair enough. I'm pleased you pointed that out to me after all those years. Brant Snedeker next at 28-1. One of the strongest home candidates for this one. He won the FedEx Cup, of course, last year. And you know, you wonder, some players can peak at certain times in the season. The injury was a real disappointment for him, wasn't it, at the start of the 2013 campaign. Is he back to where he was this time last year?
Well, yeah, he won in Canada recently. I mean, he was fortunate. He sort of benefited from Hunter Mahon's leading the tournament, going to see his child being born. So he won that. Mm. And he won early in the season at the AT&T as well. And his major performance has been incredibly consistent. 6th in the Masters, 17th US Open, and 11th at the Open Championship. And he's got probably one of the best short games in the world of golf, Brent Snedeker. But will his long game be good enough around here? That's what I would question. Not the most accurate off the tee. I think he will win a major, you know, this fellow. He's got something about him, but I just can't see it around here.
Justin Rose is next in the betting at 28-1. I suppose a bit disappointing, really, wasn't he? A lot of people wondered if he could make that move on and you know, repeat his success in the last major. It didn't happen for him, but it's very hard, isn't it, Jamie, to back up, if you like. With the pressure off him a bit, will he come good again?
Well, you say he won the US Open back in mid-June. He's only played 3 events since then. He missed a cut at Muirfield. Pretty good last week, 17th at the Bridgestone and a 13th at the Travelers after the US Open, but not played enough golf. I think he's maybe not quite as happy with his putting. That seems to be the reports coming out of the Rose camp. Has he played enough golf? That's what will worry me. And coming to terms with actually achieving your lifetime goal of winning a major championship, standing there with a trophy and everything that means to him, it does take some getting used to him. And maybe Justin's going through that patch at the moment. But I'm still expecting big things of him later in his career. But I think just the signs are there that you know, maybe he's not going to contend.
Next up, let's have a look at Lee Westwood, 33-1 in the betting. You know, we all know the chat around Lee Westwood that he's kind of forgotten how to win or whatever else, and you know, will he ever win a major, etc., etc. His game suited to Oak Hill, isn't it? And you know, whether you think he'll win or not, Jamie, he's such a consistent performer in top 10 betting.
Well, that's the thing, and you're offering 6 places. He's 33-1. He's got to be a cracking each way bet. He's been top 15 12 times in his last 16 major championships. That's incredibly consistent. 7 top threes included in that. But obviously the Open must, you know, the way he was leading the Open Championship, just didn't perform on the Sunday to finish third. You're always going to have one day in any week where you just don't play quite so well. And unfortunately, that was in the last round for Lee. The magic just wasn't quite there that day. But he's a strong, tough character, and his record suggests that. And what's interesting for me, I'd look at the stats for the PGA Tour, and he's 13th in scrambling, which you'd never believe he would be that high up in that category, which is getting up and down around the greens. That's been his Achilles heel for many years now. Been working on that. He's working with a lot of different coaches. That worries me a little bit with Lee. But you're right, he's so consistent that you can't really leave him out of your betting plan.
Let's talk about Rory McIlroy, shall we? He's 33-1 now for this tournament. Where is he mentally? I was playing golf the other day, and a guy joined in with us, an elderly chap joined in with us, and we were just playing a two ball, and he played about 4 holes with us, and we were chatting about golf, and he said, and I'm saying this, Jim, because I just think sometimes the older generation just nail it. I said, what? And he was like, what about Rory McIlroy? And we were saying, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And he went, just too much woman. Which, you know, I'm not sure if that can be... all his problems can be laid down at the door of it just being about the fact that he's got a girlfriend. But obviously there's some sort of, you know, this change in his character. He doesn't seem the same person. I mean, his very open and honest assessment of his performance in the last major was startling, really, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, but he's an open, honest lad, and he's a good lad. He's got his feet on the ground, Rory, and that's how he is. I mean, he's allowed to have a girlfriend. All the field have got a girlfriend or wife, so I would imagine. But of course, being him in the spotlight, people are going to concentrate on those things, especially when you're not performing. They're going to look at all sorts of stuff as to why. I mean, he's had a big equipment change with his golf clubs and his golf ball as well. That might be taking some time to get used to as well. And he's got some management issues as well, apparently, in the background. So all that doesn't help. You need to have a settled base to perform at any sport. And maybe Rory hasn't quite got that. But for me, every player has got an issue off the golf course, whatever it might be. It could be financial or emotional or something with your family, whatever it is. But you've got to deal with that, as any sportsman does. But the simple fact with Rory McIlroy is this: he doesn't play enough golf. He's not played enough golf this year. You look at his record this year through European Tour, PGA Tour. He doesn't play enough. He's got to, especially when you're not playing well, you've got to play your way through it. He hasn't done it.
Next up, let's have a look at Luke Donald, shall we? Another European British hope. Good showing at Firestone. To be fair to him, his record in the last five PGAs shows one top 10 finish. His game had kind of drifted a little bit before the Bridgestone, hadn't it? Is he anywhere near contending?
Not for me around here. I look at his stats, especially regarding his driving. You've got to hit it a pretty good long way around here and be straight. Well, Luke's 160th in distance and 178th in greens and regulation on the PGA Tour. That's a stat that just doesn't match up with this golf course for me. However great his putting stroke is, which it is, and however great he is around the greens with his chipping and his pitching and his bunker playing, and he's supreme at that. You know, he has got to hit. You've got to hit it long. You've got to hit it straight. And as you say, he's shown a bit of form lately. Luke, I thought he would have a good chance in the Open. Missed the cut, I'm afraid. Eighth in the US Open before that, so that was a good glimmer, but I can't see him winning here.
What about some of the players who are around the kind of, you know, the 35-1, 40-1 mark, the likes of kind of Matt Kuchar and Dustin Johnson? Kuchar first, he's third on the PGA Tour money list behind Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. Two titles to his name already this season. He's a major winner in waiting. How highly do you rate his chances?
Well, you would rate him pretty high. He's won the Memorial in the match play, but again, he's way down on driving accuracy, only 58%, which really surprised me with Kuchar. I mean, his major record this year is pretty good. He's 15th in the Open. I don't remember seeing him hit a shot, to be perfectly honest. He was 8th at the Masters and 28th at the US Open, so he's very consistent. And he's a player that a lot of players on the PGA Tour would have talked up this week, but that driving stat for me doesn't stack up.
Dustin Johnson at 40-1 had a couple of top tens in his last five PGAs. He wins tournaments. He seems to have the temperament. Does he have the game?
Well, he's had his injury issues and a bit of a fragmented season, and I love his game. This sums him up though. He's fifth in distance. He's probably a bit higher than that. Actually, he's probably one of the longest, along with Bubba Watson on the PGA Tour. Makes us more eagles than anybody else on the PGA Tour as well. But however, he's 185th in accuracy off the tee, and I'm afraid that sums up his chances.
We'll make Jason Duffner the last one, shall we? A couple of top fives in the last five PGAs. He's finished second and fifth. But when you look at his career return, it's not great, is it, really? I mean, it's one of those names that's always around there, but can he do it? I mean, he's priced at 40-1 with William Hill. Yeah, any chance, or is he just an each-way bet?
Well, he's not been around as long as some of the other names that we talked about, Duffner. It was only, he really sprung to prominence when he was runner-up to Keegan Bradley in 2011. That's the first, really, we heard of him. So that was only a couple of years ago. So it's easy to sort of to knock him and say, well, he hasn't won as many as the other guys. But he's not been around that long. And I think we expect a lot of him. He's made a record this year. 20th in the Masters, 4th in the US Open, where he had a right good go in the last round. Was way behind, wasn't he? And he had a really good go at Justin Rose. And 26th at the Open was respectable. So I like Duffner as a player. I think he's got a lot of bottle.
Let's have a look at some of the bets then, shall we? We're going to have a look at the top England, top South Africa and top Australian markets. Should we have a look at the three balls first of all, Jamie? I know that William Hill's website often has the some kind of marquee three balls, if you like, to get you started. You've picked out a few. Which ones do you like in particular?
Well, I like Adam Scott against Rose and Mickelson. I think I think Adam Scott's playing the better. He's playing some good stuff. I'm not sure what we're going to get from Phil or Justin, actually. So I think Scott at 13-8 is pretty decent.
Yeah, Adam Scott's decent, yeah. Let's look at some of these top nationality markets then as well. We'll start with a top English player. It's an interesting market, isn't it? Because as we went through those player profiles, there's no one who's absolutely in rock-solid form, apart from maybe Lee Westwood. But are you going for him for this
one? You've stolen my thunder.
Oh, sorry. I'll do the question again.
No, no, no. No, that's fine.
It's not often I'm that right.
I don't normally would normally tip anybody at a short price in a market like this. But, you know, I look at Justin, hasn't played a lot of golf. I look at Luke, I can't fancy him on the golf course. I can't really fancy Dave Lynn to produce another effort he did last year when he was runner-up. So I think Lee's record would suggest 9-4 is a cracking bet.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with golf betting, people want him to win. People want to be backing him at the big price. But price like that, you're right. I mean, it's just, well, it's got just to, so tempting,
it
isn't it?
You've got to back it up with some facts.
Yeah.
And who he's running against as well, like a horse race.
Yeah.
And what the ground's like and what the distance is like and all the rest of it. And Lee ticks a lot of boxes, the others don't.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. So we'll look at the top Australian next. The market has Adam Scott as the 8-13 favourite, Jason Day 7-2, Matt Jones 10-1, Jeff Ogilvy at 12s, John Sendon at 14s, 14s for Matt Leishman, Brett Rumford 25s and Marcus Fraser 25s.
Short, isn't it?
Yes.
Really short, 8-13, for Adam Scott. And Mark Leishman showed up early in the season, and so did John Sendon. John Sendon's been a very, very good PGA Tour player now for a few years. In fact, I played with him over here on the European Tour. Been around a long time, John Sendon. So I would say the 14-1 about Leishman and Sendon, back them both against the favourite. I think you're going to get really good runs for your money from those two players.
Top South African players in the market that you like. Charles Schwartzel's 6-4, Ernie Els 11-4, Tim Clark 11-2, Richard Stern 6s, Brandon Grace 13-2, George Coetzee is 10-1, and Jaco van Zyl is 25-1. You get a third of the odds for a place in the top two in these markets, by the way. Who are you going for?
Well, there's a player in this market. He was second in Dubai early in the season. He won Joburg Open early in the season. He was second in the French Open not long ago. He was ninth last week. He didn't play in the US Open, but in the Masters, he finished 25th, and he was 21st in the Open Championship. Richard Sterney, he's been on the sort of edges of things for quite a long time now. But do you know what? I think he's ready to break through like Schwartz or Newstays, and a 6-1, especially in just the South African market, I think it's a really, really good bet.
It's a nice price, isn't it?
Good player, you know, he's underrated.
Let's have a look at some of the bigger prices then, if we're going to try and take on that man at the top of the table there, 4-1 Tiger Woods. There are some big prices, and we mentioned earlier at the start of the podcast that, you know, you look back to Sean McKeel. I mean, he was such a big price to win, and he kind of never won anything before or after, really, had he?
No. Is
there someone out there who can win at a really, really nice price?
Well, we've had Rich Beam winning this. I think Mark Brooks won this a few years ago as well. There's been some really big prices of the PGA Championship, US PGA Championship. And if you look right down that list, there's some... I mean, Jordan Spieth, the youngster who won a few weeks ago, who knows what he's capable of?
Yeah.
There are some players down that end of the market who you know, have the capabilities of winning any week, to be perfectly honest. And, you know, Richard Sterney's out there at 100-1.
Yeah.
He's shown some really good, consistent form. Why can't he, you know, at least run a place at 100-1? I think he's one of my outright tips.
Mm, yeah. Any others at bigger prices?
I can't see any bigger prices. I mean, obviously, there's some quality players down there as well. Cabrera keeps,
doesn't
you know, showing in all the major championships this year, and we keep ignoring Angel Cabrera. What price is Angel Lee?
I'm just looking down. I was just looking as you were talking there.
See, you can't even find him. I mean, that's how far down he is. So
I've gone really far down. Now I'm thinking, have I missed him? You know, I'm going that far down, but he's constantly over. Oh, there he is, 90-1.
There you go, 90-1. I mean, he was banging there in the Open, banging there in the Masters, lost
loves
the playoff.
It. Just seems to love it, doesn't it?
So, why not? Why should he be three times the price of some of the other players at 33-1? I don't know.
Yeah. What are your main selections then, Jamie, for the 95th running of this tournament?
Well, as I said, I'm looking for some each-way selections because I really think Woods, it's just going to be fascinating watching. Well, I'm not going to tip Tiger again. When I tip him, he loses, and when I don't, he probably wins. But and I think, you know, it's going to be great to watch Phil Mickelson coming off the back of the Open Championship. Well, Adam Scott's playing great. I think Stenson's going to contend. There's some good players at the top of the list, but I'm looking for some each-way selections, and I think Westwood will be one of those at 33-1. I think, can he win? I'm not sure, but I think if you look at the stats and the way he's played the majors, I think he's a cracking each-way bet. I like Jason Duffner as well. I've liked him from the start of the season. My son actually reminded me that I talked him up last season. I said he was going to win a major soon, so I've got to stick with Duffner. He's 40-1. I like Richard Sterney at 100-1, but you know, we just pointed out a few others there that at big prices it could easily run well. But they're my three, all each way: Westwood, Duffner, and Sterney against that big price favourite.
Yeah, it's interesting, the Westwood thing, you know, the thing about him not winning a major. Or,
this is not coming from the heart, the Westwood bet as well.
No, well, it works in the punter's favour in a sense, doesn't it, Jamie? An each-way punter's favour, because if, the more the traders think he can't win, it means his price has to be pushed up in the win market, which
they
obviously opens you up to be an each-way bet.
Well, they might be right about he can't win. They might be right. But he's, you know, seven top threes in his last 16 majors would suggest that 33-1 each way is a good bet.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, forget his name.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Jamie, thanks for your time. Always a pleasure speaking to you. Thanks for all that, all those player profiles, and good luck with your bets.
Well, yeah, let's bring it on. Come on, can't wait.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.